some notices, things bring to your attention. It's quite straightforward this week. So Good Friday, now what day is that? It's Friday. So we all, as Christians from across Ely, we gather together and we meet outside St Mary's Church just after 10 o'clock, because at about 10:15, we then join a walk through to the Market Square. There'll be, please do take the seats. Remember, we've said before that in Isaiah there's different parts, and there's a whole block which ranges in the numbering system we have from chapter 40 through to 55, which are called the servant songs. They're songs about a servant, and you're okay to be confused, because sometimes those songs or the servant seems to refer to a whole people, a whole nation, the nation of God's people, the nation of Israel. But other times you read it and it reads that the servant is just an individual. And so the songs seem to kind of vary as you read them from chapter 40 to 55. Sometimes a whole people, sometimes just one, an individual. And we heard, it was some weeks ago now, but we heard that on that individual, the Spirit rests. Spirit rests and anoints that individual to bring justice, anoints that individual to lead the wider whole people out. And there's a sense of commissioning for ministry, not just for that one, not just for the one people, but we see it kind of gathering, radiating, like you drop a stone in and you get the radiating circles. It radiates out not just for the one, not just for God's people, but radiating out for all people, for the whole world. Kings taking notes. And so there's a theme. There's a theme through the whole of Isaiah, but the theme very strongly in this block, about God restoring a whole people, but then bringing and including others, doing it through the one. But then in chapter 53, as Chris read a snippet, we discover that one suffers. That one is led out to die. That one is cut off, is punished, is killed. Well, I'm going to just unpack two or three features of that. There's tons you could dig just out of that one short passage, but two or three things today. And the first thing is that it says he is led out in silence. He's not a common sinner like everyone else. He's led out in silence and goes with that. We saw the scenes on the news this week of the WikiLeaks guy being dragged out of the Ecuadorian embassy and protesting and trying to kick up a fuss. But by contrast, the one is led out in silence, makes no protest. For he doesn't need to protest his innocence or argue his case. He just goes through it. But that will mean being cut off. That will mean being one who is in utter disgrace. Now, disgrace and shame and being cut off aren't that big for us as a white British culture. But as I'm sure Emmett would tell us, there are many cultures around the world. There are cultures today where shame and disgrace are a big, big deal. And to cut off a family member is one of the biggest things that can happen in a family or happen to an individual. In the Jewish law, there's moments where they're instructed if someone goes against God, it says, well, cut them off from the people, banish them, because they are no longer fit to be in the community. And then the Jewish law had this other thing. It's a bit strange for us to get our heads around, but this thing called the Day of Atonement. And on that day, they'd do this curious thing. They would get a goat, and they would then symbolically lay the sin of the whole people on the goat. They were one of the priests would lay his hand on the goat's horns, and that goat would become the scapegoat. And then they would literally banish it. They would drive it out into the wilderness, out into the desert. Send it away. In other words, symbolically sending all the wrongdoing of the people onto the goat to go out, to be banished, to be cut off and taken away. Well, another thing that we can tease out of that passage is that this individual wasn't self-appointed. Verse 10 tells us that it is God's will that he suffer. But that should raise all kinds of questions for you. Well, God's will that he should suffer, so what's the deal? Is this some victim? Is this some innocent third party who gets the chop? How can that be right? How can that work? What is God playing at? Is God vindictive, channeling it onto this one? Legitimate questions to ask. But verse 4, earlier in the passage, it says, the individual he took up. That's an active verb. So he took up this. He wasn't coerced. And that's a thing for us to get our heads around. And as you go through this week and Good Friday, have a think about it. That on the cross, Jesus dying on the cross, the whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is at work in the event of the cross. The Father's will, also the Father's agony, the Son's agreement and willingness to go through that and endure the physical agony, and the Spirit enabling and holding through the whole process. So this Friday, if you go to the Market Square or join with us, don't just think of it as just Jesus, but as a Trinitarian event. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit intimately involved in the actions on Good Friday. Then verse 12 says, he bore. He took the responsibility. He took the consequences. Earlier in verse 10, it says it talked of a guilt offering. Now, that's a technical term. Again, it's kind of hard for us, but for people in the Jewish faith, with all the Mosaic law from Exodus and Leviticus and all that stuff, they will understand that term. That'll be Leviticus chapter 5 and 6, the guilt offering. The offering that you make when you have done something, you didn't realize you'd done it, but now it's brought to light. Now it comes to the fore. Now you realize, I messed up. I made a mistake. I didn't realize it at the time, but I have gone against God. I have become impure in my life, and now I realize it. And you put that right by making a guilt offering. You can check it out. Leviticus 5 and 6 has all the stuff for that. This individual is taking the responsibility, is making the guilt offering. And that echoes earlier in the passage, verse 5, where it says, he was pierced for our wrongdoing, crushed instead of us for our stepping out of line. But then verses 11 and 12 give hints, little signs that though this servant will suffer and die, though that will happen, it will not be the last word. It will not be the only thing. For it says in verse 11 and 12, it says, he will see the light of lights. By knowing him, many will be justified. And it says, I will give him a portion among the great. Now think of those statements. None of those make sense for a dead person. That doesn't make sense, does it? By knowing him, many will be justified, or he will see the light of life. How can he see the light of life if he's dead? So there's hints there that though death will happen, he will be pierced, he will be crushed for a wrongdoing, but that won't be the last words. Yes, the servant will die, but he will be vindicated. It's a key word for us in our understanding. He will be vindicated. In other words, God will look down and say, yes, he was mine all along, and he is mine, and he remains mine. And I won't give too much away, but come back next week to see how it pans out. And chapter 54, then, if you just keep reading on from 53, it starts spelling it out, what the consequences of that means. A new people called out by the Lord, a new exodus, a new freedom from slavery, a new heritage of promise. So, it was a couple of years ago, remember we did that big series, His Story, Our Story. The story of God and what's called salvation history. That the whole point is that the whole story of Israel, all that business of being freed from Egypt and led out of slavery and all that stuff, all that, if you like, is a teaser little film. It's like the trailer you watch at the cinema for the later real deal. And Isaiah 53 is another little teaser film that's just dropped in there for the real deal. But we know through Jesus and the Holy Week and the Good Friday and the Easter story. The freedom story predicts a new Passover lamb event. And that is an event for anyone who believes, who connects by faith with Jesus, the suffering servants, to be included in parts of his people and his kingdom. And our job this week is to ponder and reflect on these things. So in a moment, there's going to be some space and some resources to help you do that. Let me talk you through them. So we'll start over here where there's a couple of things. And what I'd suggest you do is you choose one resource and do that. And then maybe do a bit of the arts or the thing of the cross. But don't try and do all the resources because it won't work. So over here, there are two things to look at. There's... Each one has a sheet and then a slip to take away. If you want to dig more into the guilt offering, Leviticus 5 and 6, then this is your place. And then over here we have prequels to the cross in the Old Testament. You know, another little trailer, teaser film, this time way back from Genesis. You can read about that there. There's a sheet to take away. And then over here, if you just want to do some art, Emily will be here, and there's some artwork here, and she'll show you what to do to contribute to that, and you can build up a picture. That's a good way of reflecting and thinking. And then over here, we have a question, why did he die? And the clever technical term answering that question is called atonement theory. So if you want to be really nerdy, atonement theory. You can read about why did he die, atonement theory, different theories over here, you can just take away this slip to read about it, or you can buddy up with one or two others and play a game to delve into the atonement theory. I've got three copies of the games. Just take one of these packs of slips. It's got instructions on the front. And do that with one or two others. There's three copies there, so there's enough for up to nine people. And then finally, you might just want to sit and read a reflection. So on this table here, there's a couple of devotionals, and you might just want to take one of those and read and pray. And then at any time, come and write your own prayer or thing on a slip here and just leave it by the cross or anything. So you might want to do one of the resources and then come and write a slip or add to the artwork. Is that clear? So in a moment, I'm going to pray. Then there'll be about 12 minutes of music. Of course, to make the most of this, you will need to get up out of your seat and go and choose a resource. But if you want to just sit and pray, then of course, that is fine. But let's pause and pray for a moment. Father God, help us to grasp that little bit more, the enormous thing of your death and resurrection, what you have done for us on the cross. And remember that the invitation is there to connect by faith, maybe for the first time, or to reconnect by faith for second, third, or umpteenth time. So it's not just a couple of pieces of wood, but it's the place of forgiveness, of healing, and where you are set right. Amen. If you'd like someone to pray with you, I'll be waiting at the back. You can just come and find me and we'll organise that. Musical play. Off you go. There's about 12 minutes to make your own reflection.